World War II, Part Two. Oh, the war seemed to go on and on and on.
Oh, yeah. Jim was overseas for 32 months.
I was gone for 2 years.
Doug was 27 months in the South Pacific.
Don't get around much anymore.
Yeah. And David was gone for almost 2 years.
Yeah, I was shipped out in 42. Didn't come home till after VE Day.
When the lights go on again, all over the world.
The bloody summer of 1943 was over, and now the great Allied air attack on Germany began.
On Germany's eastern front, Hitler's armies were saying goodbye to Russia as the Russians drove them across the border into Poland.
Oh. And the Russians had gained air superiority.
The Heinkel whipped over again to the left in an attempt to dive. He looked good for Zhirov, my wingman. I rolled to the right as Zhirov dropped down after the German and began firing his cannon. At that moment, fishing, the American peasants who had built our airplanes were there to witness the fight. I think they would have approved our use of their marvelous air cobras.
In the Pacific, our carrier planes attacked the Japanese fleet and air base at Truk and destroyed over 200 planes and sank over 30 ships.
The Allies landed in New Guinea.
The war in Italy went on.
Yeah, the Forgotten War, the Italian campaign. Slow, costly. Hard, bloody struggle from the first landings at Salerno in 1943 right up to the end of the war.
And the guys who fought there talked about places like Anzio.
Yeah, where the 3rd Infantry took their lumps.
And especially they remembered Cassino.
Oh, everybody got hurt there. Americans, British, French, Canadians, New Zealanders. There were Indians and Greeks, Senegalese, Brazilians. It was a true United Nations army.
You know, Earl, we should let Dave Yamato tell this story.
Yeah, you're right. Dave?
He wants to forget about Italy.
Well, someone should tell the story of American soldiers of Japanese ancestry, how hard they fought for this country,
yes,
how many medals and citations they won,
and how they suffered a higher percentage of casualties than any other American unit in the war.
Talk about paying your dues.
As Bill Mauldin put it, the Nisi collected enough metal in their bodies and on their chests to sink 6 battleships.
You mean that after putting you behind barbed wire, Dave, we then turned around and drafted you?
No, not drafted. David enlisted. In fact, he tried to enlist right after Pearl Harbor, same as Earl. It's all right, David. People should know.
Yeah. Can I help you, fella?
Yes, sir. I'm here to enlist.
Enlist, huh? Well...
Isn't this the right place? Says so on a door. And out front is that poster with a picture of our uncle. Good old Uncle Sam saying, he wants me. He does want me, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, you see, Sonny...
I was born in Portland, Oregon. My father comes from Hiroshima, but I'm an American citizen.
Well, sure you are, kid. I'd like to sign you up, but why don't you come back next week, huh? Yeah, come back and see us next week or... Hey, the Navy's right next door. Why don't you go see them?
Poor Dave. You tried to become an American soldier, and instead you ended up in Wyoming where American soldiers guarded you.
Yeah, the detention camps are really a sad part of our history.
Sure.
As long as we're telling sad stories, we ought to ask Tom to tell about trying to enlist in the Navy Air Corps.
Please, not Navy Air Corps. It's called Navy Air.
Oh, yeah.
Or V-5 Naval Flight Training, if you want to be technical.
I don't. I just want to hear Tom's story.
Come on, Sandy, not now.
Tom, you should tell it.
Doris is right. Sandy should hear the sad tales of the war as well as the heroic ones.
Yeah, you have to take the bitter with the sweet, you know. I mean, it's just that war stories aren't all sweet.
Okay, gang, I'll tell you my story. We go back to 1942 when I went to see about enlisting in the Navy's V-5 program. I had 4 years of college and thought...
It's patriotic of you to come in and see us. But Navy Air doesn't take Negroes.
None?
None. Try the Army Air Corps.
So I went and saw the Army Air Corps.
I'm sorry, you better try the Army.
And did you try the Army, Tom?
Yeah, and they had an opening. especially for me.
Sure, sure. Happy to have you, you being a college graduate and all. We're just now making up some new labor battalions.
Later in the war, there was some breaking down of racial barriers in the armed forces, but not much. Heck, it took the Battle of the Bulge to get me transferred into a frontline infantry outfit.
Beautiful, huh? We took Negroes from the South, where public drinking fountains and restrooms and even air raid shelters were segregated, and sent them off to fight an enemy who, in Berlin, had separate but equal park benches. Those for Germans and those for Jews.
Where are we now?
It's June of 1944. The Allies were ready to take a crack at Hitler's Atlantic Wall.
Codename, Operation Overlord. Objective, the invasion of Europe. D-Day, June 6th, 1944.
This was a big moment.
The thing we'd been dreaming about and planning since the fall of France.
Both the emotional and strategic climax of World War II.
5,300 ships and craft were to carry the invasion force across the English Channel. The largest fleet in history.
And the greatest aerial armada in history. 12,000 planes were to bomb, strafe, and land elements of three airborne divisions in Normandy. The paratroopers would be the first to land, early in the morning of the 6th.
Okay, everybody got their cricket?
Yeah, I got mine.
Never mind, Mullins, I didn't ask to hear him. Just hang on to that toy. Might save your life. Two clicks at a signal, three clicks for a countersign. After you land, leave your chute and hot-footed into the woods to the south of the drop zone. Okay? Stand up. Hook up. Check equipment. Okay, wait for the green light. Wait for the green light. Wait. There. Okay, troopers, let's go.
You must understand our confusion. The 709th Division guarded some 30 miles of Channel Coast, and the American and British chutists were dropping everywhere. Each of them carried a little cricket, a noisemaker, so they could locate each other in the dark. Click, 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 we heard, and tried to hunt them down before they could reform into large fighting units. One of the Americans got caught in the trees, and he was left hanging there, helpless, without a weapon. Working his cricket. But we found him first.
Look, Herr Oberleutnant, up there.
Good morning, American cricket. Welcome to France.
Good morning yourself, Kraut.
But there were too many of them. We couldn't stop them all. And there was something different here. These Americans were nothing like the big-mouthed Yankees we'd captured in North Africa. These were hardened soldiers, and I remember thinking, perhaps we were not going to win the war after all.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. The corn is as high as an elephant's eye, and it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky. Oh, what a beautiful morning.
Oh, why are you playing this?
Oh, for escape. I suppose that's why we welcome big Broadway musicals like Oklahoma and Carousel during the war. Because they had nothing whatever to do with the war.
Yeah, remember that other song from Oklahoma? Everything's up to date in Kansas City. Yeah.
Or Surrey with the Fringe on top?
Yeah.
Ah, you people were into that cornball stuff. How about some of the upbeat things from that time, like, is you is or is you ain't my baby?
Or, this is the G.I. Jive, man alive. Yeah.
Oh, that's about when I first learned how to Suzy Q.
Yeah.
Did you say Suzy Q?
Sure.
I danced, Ep, honey.
Like the Balboa, the flea hop, the Jersey bounce. Jersey.
They call it the Jersey bounce.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know why the moron pushed the cow over the cliff? Because he wanted to hear the Jersey bounce.
Oh. Earl, that's terrible.
Well, we had moron jokes, and we also had a neat little phrase made up of three words that was written on walls, doors, and ceilings all over the world.
The same three words?
The same three. There weren't any places you could go without discovering that some American GI had been there before you and had written,
Kilroy was here.
Come on, you people, be serious. There's a war going on.
Yeah, that's what we kept reminding ourselves. One of the classic things to say to a hoarder or a slacker was, "Don't you know there's a war on?"
Right.
You
know there's a war.
That's pretty. What is it?
A geisha girl in Japan singing. Well, we had Oklahoma to help us escape thinking about the war, and they had something like this.
Dearest Toshi, I'm so tired of war. Do you recall when I enlisted? I was 19, and here I am, 7 years later, still at it. I think often of you and our baby and hope you are not suffering too much from the winter cold. Here on Saipan, it is always too hot.
To win the war against Japan in the Pacific, America and her allies were forced to island hop from Guadalcanal and New Guinea north toward the Japanese mainland. To the Marines fell the task of assaulting some of the toughest strongholds. Endless arguments have been waged over whether each of these landings was necessary. It's too late for that. Necessary or not, they were ordered. They were made. Tarawa, Saipan, Guam, Tinian, Peleliu.
What are we celebrating? The end of the war, I hope?
No, not yet. It's only August of 1944. But there's good news. Paris has been liberated from the Germans.
Now the Germans were on the run. By September 12th, the American First Army was crossing the German border east of Aachen.
October, November, we kept right after them. And then in December, trouble.
We gamble everything now. We cannot fail.
We will not disappoint the Führer and the Fatherland, who created the sword of retribution.
We will march day and night if necessary. Fight all the time. On toward the enemy and through him. Your orders, all out attack.
At 5:30 on the morning of December 16th, the Germans hit us with three armies, some 19 divisions, and the roads from Saint-Vie to Bastogne were clogged with retreating Americans. The Battle of the Bulge had begun. And behind the broken and shattered American units came the panzers in a final gigantic effort for Führer and Fatherland. But not all the Americans ran.
We turned off the stoves in the cook tent when someone said the Germans were almost upon us. They were coming through the woods on our right flank. We took our personal weapons and got into the air raid trench in front of the supply tent.
Keep down there,
clerks,
down.
Messmen, one supply sergeant, and one cook. We could hear the Germans coming through the trees. Then silence. Grenades started raining down on us, dozens of them, potato mashers that made a flat blast when detonated, and big concussion grenades that bounced and exploded with a sharp, ear-cracking noise. When the first machine pistol started to chatter, I raised up and saw the enemy coming toward the trench from the right. They were already on top of the fighting holes at that end of the trench, the flash from their weapons lighting their faces, squinting, excited faces. I was busy shooting over Miller's shoulder in the confusion, aiming only at the center of the enemy swarm.
With men like that, we finally stopped the German attack. Then, with men like Tom here, who was called up out of a labor battalion to bolster Patton's Third Army, we counterattacked, and on December 28th started pushing the Germans back out of the Bulge. We were late celebrating Christmas that year.
And many didn't live long enough to celebrate at all. That December of 1944 was the bloodiest month of the war for American combat troops.
Where are we, back in Bastogne?
No, Sandy. We're back in the United States, at the Japanese-American detention camp at Heart Mountain, Wyoming. Winter, 1944.
When they first took us from our homes in 1942, we were kept at Santa Anita Racetrack near Los Angeles for many months. Living in a horse stall was not good, but when we arrived at Heart Mountain, my spirits sank. It looked like a real concentration camp with high barbed wire fences, watchtowers, and guards holding rifles. And the winters, so cold.
You've got to realize, Sandy, that many of us were moved from the area around Los Angeles to a place where the winter temperatures got down to 30 below, and someone in camp wrote,
"Snow upon the rooftop, snow upon the coal, winter in Wyoming, winter in my soul."
In March of 45, Allied troops began crossing the Rhine River at Remagen.
By this time, MacArthur had returned to the Philippines and American Army forces had recaptured Manila, Bataan, and Corregidor.
The largest Marine force ever to go into battle assaulted a tiny rock 700 miles from Japan, Iwo Jima.
The American 3rd and 7th Army troops attacked in the Saar Basin, secured it in 1 week.
Slow down, you guys. You're going too fast.
Well, it's too late. We couldn't slow down if we wanted to. For better or for worse, the American war machine was in high gear, and we couldn't be stopped. Both Germany and Japan were doomed. It was now only a matter of time.
Dear Father, of the whole division, only 52 men are still in fighting condition. Bleier is still alive, so is Hartlieb. Little Dagen lost both his arms. We still have 2 machine guns and 400 rounds of ammunition, 1 mortar, and 10 shells. You can be sure everything will end decently. It is a little early at 23, I know.
In overrunning Germany, the Allied troops came upon the slave labor camps. The extermination camps, the death camps.
Dachau.
Belsen.
Auschwitz.
Treblinka.
Buchenwald.
Majdanek.
Here the Nazis kept millions of men, women, and children of all nationalities. Here they systematically killed more than 6 million people, mostly Jews and Poles in the gas chambers.
And witnessing this horror, we realized what savagery we as human beings were capable of perpetrating in the name of national honor.
Now was the time for the last big battle of World War II.
The greatest sea-air battle in history.
Okinawa.
It was also the time of the divine wind. The Japanese kamikaze. The bong, bong, bong of general quarters sounded day and night aboard the ships of the invasion fleet. And by the end of the first month, the Japanese had sunk 20 U.S. ships and had damaged 157. But this was the fleet that came to stay. And while soldiers and Marines ashore engaged in a bloody struggle against the 32nd Imperial Army, the American fleet met and suffered the divine wind from Japan. USS Drexler, Gaiety, Aaron Ward, Anthony, Murray, Brain, Casson Young, Sandoval, Rodman, Laffey, Forrest, Gilligan, Loy, Mary Livermore, Brown Victory, Franklin, Intrepid, Emmons, Logan Victory, Enterprise, Essex, Abel, Tennessee, Idaho, Adams, Skylark, Indianapolis.
On April 12th came shocking news. President Roosevelt was dead.
May 8th, Germany surrendered. It was VE Day.
Hooray!
Oh. Victory in Europe!
Yes!
On June 6th, the battle for Okinawa ended.
In the rubble of Shuri Castle, one of the strong points of the Japanese line, we dug up 2 antique bells, scarred and dented by shellfire. And on them was an inscription written in Chinese. And how will the bell sound? It will echo far and wide like a peal of thunder, but with utmost purity.
And evil men, hearing the bell, will be saved.
August 6th, the American bomber Enola Gay took off from Tinian.
Yes. We all know what came next.
I was 10. We were staying at the cottage of Koba, and I was down at the river swimming. All of a sudden, there was an airplane. It came from down the river. I looked up at the sky. I was at the bottom of the valley, so I could only see a narrow strip of sky between the hillsides. Suddenly, there was an awful light in the sky toward Urakami. From down the river came a noise like thunder. It was a terrific rush of wind. The leaves were torn off all the trees and came racing along. It was getting dark and cold very fast. I thought an airplane must have crashed into the sun.
Japan surrendered. VJ Day.
And now, the accounting.
Battle deaths?
The United States, 295,000.
British Commonwealth, 450,000.
China, 2,200,000.
Russia, 7,500,000.
Germany, 2,800,000.
Japan, 1,500,000.
And what was the grand total?
You mean counting soldiers and civilians?
Yes. How many human beings?
Total dead as a result of World War II? 40 million men, women, and children.
God help us. We were all numb. The carnage. The cruelty.
The pain. The whole world in pain.
And already the Russians were initiating an iron-fisted rule over the countries that they had liberated. And in China, the communists were beginning a new war to seize control of that country.
Who cared what Russia was doing? We were going home.
At last,
our war was over.
And we could finally go home.
Home. Home.
A three-car mail train rattled through the sparse Nebraska wheat fields west of North Platte. I sat alone in the coach, looking out at the wheat fields, dreading the job I had to perform. I was the official honor guard for the body of a young American soldier being shipped home. Two cars forward in the mail car were the remains of Private Howard Trask of Stillwell, Nebraska. When the train made its stop at Stillwell, the family was waiting. The dead soldier's young widow and his parents. The body was loaded into a hearse and taken to a funeral home, and I went with the Trasks to their farm just outside town. I had to sit there with the family and say the words that sound so stupid and artificial except to those who know nothing about combat. Your husband was a brave man. His death was quick and painless. He died instantly.
I see.
He was well-liked by everybody.
I'm glad to hear that. People around here used to make fun of Howard. He was always afraid of not being liked. Howard was supposed to come home before he went overseas. Supposed to come in on the evening train. And I had the porch light lit for him. He never came. But in a long time, I got a nice dish he sent from England. Broken, but hand-painted and nice. And I just kept the porch light on every night in case they sent him home real sudden.
You said there was another child beside the baby?
Yes, Stevie. He's out in the yard playing. Most likely playing his toy harmonica.
Yes, I can hear the harmonica.
He's only 6, but he said he wanted to learn 100 songs by the time his daddy came home.
This has been another program in the series, Our Nation's Heritage, produced and presented as a public service by Chevron Oil Company.